Jennifer McKittrick, what was your Betty name and what did you do in the Bettys?
I was Betty Cakes. And what did I do in the Bettys? I sang or wrote songs. Sometimes they let me play guitar. I think I played bass on one and some keyboards. Yeah.
How many of the songs did you write?
How many songs did I write then?
Yeah, do you remember the names of any of the songs you wrote?
To Eat and to Die, Stupid Little Fun. Oh, God. Nothing else is coming to mind right now.
Who wrote Betty Was?
Betty Was, that was Carolyn, Diane, and Lynn.
Okay. You know, I have not been able to find Lynn O'Kickey on the Internet, and no one else has any information about her. But I've been able to make contact with all the rest of you.
Very nice.
Okay. Where are you now, and what are you doing?
I am in San Francisco. I'm teaching special education, and I'm teaching guitar to kids through a nonprofit called Little Kids Rock. And
you're also a mom.
And I'm a mom, yeah. I've got a 10-year-old daughter.
What's her name?
Her name is Maggie Mariah Capen McKittrick.
Cool. Is she into music?
Yeah, she plays piano and she plays a little guitar. She's really into horseback riding right now. That's her big love.
Okay. So what are you doing musically right now?
Not a lot. I'm thinking about doing some stuff that doesn't really involve guitar at all. And I want to take some songs and kind of sample over them. I've been going through some stuff that would be good to do that with.
Okay, give me a brief synopsis of your life from the Bettys until now. Where you've lived, major life events, bands you've played in.
All right, let's see. I left Kent, and because after the Bettys, there was really nothing to stay for.
Well, you were in in Fear of Roses for a while.
Oh, that's true. That's right. I was in that band when I left, and then I went to Cleveland, and that was for about a year, and then I went to Cape Cod to join up with Cecilia, and so I was there for about 7 years, and we did a band out there called 3 Days for a while, and it was kind of based on the idea of, I don't know, maybe in 3 days I'll be better.
Okay.
It's kind of a hopeful thing.
So you and Sissy, I never knew that. You had a band out there.
Yeah.
And do you record anything?
Oh, God, nothing official. There may be some, you know, some rogue cassettes out there.
But you played out?
We did. A little bit. We played at a birthday party. We might have had a gig or two in some of those little tiny clubs in P-Town. I don't even remember.
What kind of band was it?
It was a rock band.
Okay.
Me and Sissy and these two boys on bass and drums. Jed and Jeff. And then, then I did several bands with Jeff. We did Spank the Eggman for several years. This was in Provincetown. I actually had 3 bands going at once, and we would play in the same club 3 nights a week, so I could just keep my equipment there. Like Thursdays, it was Captain Video and the Sex Pirates, and then Fridays it was Mofo, and then Saturdays it was Roadhouse.
Do you think anybody noticed?
There was local press. I mean, you know, Cape Cod's not a big place, so it's not hard to be noticed there.
Well, what I meant really was, did you think anybody noticed that you were playing in the same band night after night and just changing the names?
Yeah, because we would have, there'd be like one different person each night.
Okay.
You know, like
technically
one
it was
band,
a different
Larry
band.
Larry was the front man, and one band, Rick, was the front man, and the other one, I was the front man. So.
Okay.
They were different bands in spirit. You know, only one of the bands, Larry's band, was the one with the 20-minute guitar solos. It'd be like 3 songs per set.
So Provincetown.
Provincetown, Mass, on the tip of Cape Cod. Then I got out of there and I came to San Francisco about 12 years ago. Oh, also on the Cape, I was in this all-girl band called The Outskirts.
That's nice, The Outskirts.
It was real nice, yeah. We made a couple videos, which were pretty fun. And, you know, we played some gigs, and I still keep in touch with those guys.
So if I wanted to get a hold of those videos, how would I do that?
You'd have to contact me directly.
Okay, but I don't know where you are, so I can't.
Well, And again, I'm in San Francisco, and I will do my best.
Why'd you move to San Francisco?
I came out here because I wanted to move to New York.
Okay, and so you missed.
So I wanted to get off the Cape and get to a city and, you know, try something a little different. And so I wanted to move to New York, and my girlfriend wanted to move to San Francisco, so we came to San Francisco. And let's see, out here I got into a band with a few Kentites called Swingin' Doors with Diane Glob, a former Betty, and Dwight Bean, who had been in Kent. And what band? He was in the Swingin' Hips in Kent with, let's see, Rob Lightbody and a couple other guys. So anyway, me and Diane and Dwight and who else? Stephanie Lee became Swingin' Doors, and we did this alternative country thing. We made a CD.
You know, I was listening to Dreaming last night because I hadn't included that because you didn't author, and I was just trying to include, you know, list out songs you had authored. And but your singing on that is fabulous. It is fabulous. I'd be proud of that, too.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, that got a great review in the No Depression magazine. The guy described, the editor described it as, what was it? Oh, one of those absolutely perfect musical moments. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's, you know, that's decent praise. Yeah, I really like doing that cover.
Swingin' Doors, then.
Swingin' Doors, let's see, what else? Oh, God. Then I went solo. I decided that democracy was not for me. And so I got a demo deal with Warner Brothers and was able to, you know, just pick whoever I wanted to play some originals. So I, you know, I just found my favorite local musicians and got them together and did some recording, and then that led to a full-length record that I did with another label who, and it's a long story, but that label's not around anymore, and I finished the record on my own, and that was Glow.
Yes, which is fabulous. It's a fabulous collection of pop rock songs, and I'm really impressed by, you know, your songs on it and your playing and your singing. And did you have those songs written, or did you write them just for the CD? With these things you were carrying around in your back pocket, like,
I was carrying a few around, and, you know, I mean, I had been writing. I got into a pretty prolific period, you know, between Swingin' Doors and Glow. That's like, I guess, the late 90s. You know, I was pretty much, I was a new mother. I had Maggie in 94, and so I was working very part-time, and I was just kind of hanging at home with the kid, and at that time I wrote a lot of songs. And so I was able to kind of, you know, go through and really sort out the best ones that I wanted to put on Glow. And, you know, I wrote a few new ones too, brand new ones, just because I was recording and I wanted to up the ante a little bit.
Okay, so where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? Well, you know, I'm doing this teaching thing, which is pretty cool. I'm going to be, next year I start on the local San Francisco Teachers Union. I'll be in the union representative.
All right, part of the people, solidarity.
That's right. And, you know, I'm just out here, you know, waiting for the Bush era to end.
Please, don't get me started.
Oh, God.
So you told me before that you'd played in some other various projects, like Some Girls.
Oh, Some Girls, yeah. That's the all-girls.
And Diane told me about a band she was in that was... All Dolly Parton. And
Yes, they play a bit more. I mean, Some Girls probably plays once or twice a year. It's just, you know, it's just a special occasion kind of thing, and it's just three of us. Well, and then we get a fourth because, I'm Mick and Keith all in one, you know, and...
And it's all just the songs from that album.
Just
Some
the
Girls.
Songs in order from Some Girls' album, from, you know, from Miss You to Shattered and everything in between.
Okay.
And we do pretty true to the original. You know, I even try to sound like Mick when I sing. I mean, you know, I do that anyway, I guess. But you know, we're not really changing it up too much. Some of the lyrics I changed because they're a little distasteful, so, you know, I say things like, black girls just want to have toast all night, I don't have that much jam.
That's hilarious. So I want to ask you,
restrained.
I want to end with a few questions about the Bettys. One is, Do you remember what the first Betty's gig was and what the last Betty's gig was? Carolyn wasn't able to tell me.
I remember the first one was on March 17th.
What year?
Oh, man.
1981, 82?
It must have been 81.
Yeah, she said you guys were only together like 9 months.
Yeah, it was a quickie. And the last one would have been, I guess, early 82.
Well, where was the first gig?
JB's.
First gig was at JB's.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I think she said that she thought the last gig maybe was at Mother's. And I forget who she said
maybe.
It was. Who else was with it?
I think the first gig, there was a bunch of bands. And I remember the F Models were one of them. And I remember playing. And I know we were pretty absurd. But, you know, and it was a pretty good crowd because there was a lot of bands that night. And, you know, I was just looking at the audience and people were smiling and they were also laughing. So, I mean, people were getting a kick out of it.
Yes, well, I certainly did. Is there anything about the Betty's that you especially miss?
Well, I miss playing with the people, you know. I miss those basement arguments. And I miss the power coups. And I miss... I miss the domesticity of the whole Betty's thing. You know, we'd sit together and iron and knit and stuff, and that was really nice.
I didn't know that. That's that's special.
Yeah.
So, no, there's both Diane. You'll have to listen to Diane and Carolyn talking about it, but there's definitely some real strong fondness for that period, and particularly it was the first band, right, for you?
Yes.
It was the first band for everybody.
Yeah.
And many of you have continued. I don't know if Sissy has or not. I'm going to find out when I talk to her tomorrow. But you, Diane, and Carolyn have continued off and on since then in various serious musical ways. And it was the first band. And Carolyn said it was sort of like you guys sort of would try anything. You know, anybody had an idea, you'd try it, and how wonderful that was.
Yeah, because, you know, nobody had told us how not to do it yet.
Right. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a really ugly question, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did being in the Betty's influence your life and who you are today?
Oh, I'd give it a 20.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, once a Betty, always a Betty, Alan.
Okay, well, I didn't know. You know, sometimes I think I'm the only person who cares about the Betty's, and you all went on to bigger and better things or something like that. But I think in talking with Carolyn, the word theatrical, theater, that's if there's one thing that you guys did that was just the core, terrific thing that awed everybody, it was how you just created, you know, your sense of theater.
Right? Well, we had to because we certainly couldn't play at that point.
Well, you weren't that bad. You know, if you listen to the tape, you're not that bad. And even when you're falling apart, you make it work, you know. And you guys know, you can tell there's musical talent there. And I think in listening to the great stuff you've done and the others have done since then, it's like you can hear that there was some serious musical talent. Yeah, you were learning your instruments and it was your first band, but what really doesn't come across on the tapes is just that whole sense of theater, that whole performance stuff. I used to say that you and Sissy, as soon as you walked in the door at JB's, the whole bar was your stage. You know, it wasn't just when you got up on stage either. For you and Sissy, the whole bar was your stage. You like wherever you were, it was a stage. It was a performance, and it was terrific.
Well, you know, we were 18 and 19 then. So
what did you know? I'm glad. I hope the world's beaten it out of you since then.
I actually thought the world was a stage at that point, or at least Kent, Ohio.
Yes.
And I guess it was.
Okay, well, you know, Carolyn, I didn't even suggest anything about a Betty's reunion or if you guys would ever get back together or anything. And Carolyn sort of brought, she was afraid I was going to bring it up, so she brought up, she said that the only, her idea of a Betty's reunion is if the five of you got together and trained five guys, got five guys to dress up like you and got them to go on stage and perform Betty's songs like the Betty's.
Yeah.
Something weird like that.
Yeah, that'd be good. I wouldn't want to pay him, though.
Well, I'd rather hear the original Betty's myself, and I'm sure you guys could
do
something.
Well, I imagine if we got some hungry young slobbering fanboys to do it, they could probably do it better than we could at this point.
I doubt it. Okay, well, I'm going to end my recording.